I would argue that you, if you can open now and make it 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, you will probably be a better entrepreneur for having started right now. Hi, brother man. Welcome back. Another edition of the Mission Driven Podcast. We are here after a marathon of 11 episodes. Our first season, The Basics, I think is what we end up calling them. And we're pivoting into basically COVID, managing COVID series. Comes around because Delta's coming back around and obviously changing everyone's perspective on how quick are you going to get back to new normal. So we're going to go back to some previous topics, put in the context of COVID, how we would see it, how we're feeling it, and then how we might address it a little bit differently given the time. Sound good, Tom?
Yeah, I love it.
All right. So in the context of Delta coming back, we've had a lot of discussions, I think, between ourselves, but also, so the wider community of like, is now really a good time to start? Would you under what conditions make the jump into mission-driven entrepreneurship? And Tom, I think we've talked about this. I'm gonna let what do you think? Just big picture here. Make the jump and become an entrepreneur right now, knowing that Delta is about to, set us back, set us on a different path for the next 18 months. Is that something you think is a wise thing to do?
Yeah, I do. I think it depends on first, I don't think that there's any difference between now and 5 years ago. I think there's challenges. I think you need to weigh those challenges. You have to look at your opportunities, et cetera. But real quick, I think it depends on what do your personal finances look like. Okay. When I started my organization, I had a job. I balanced it out. Weekends, afternoons, evenings. Your product and your service, is there a need? And your funding for your organization. Full stop. That's it. You got to balance those out, see where it goes. What do you think, Richard? Should you do it?
So
No.
first off, you're going to be compelled to do it now, I would say more than 5 years ago, especially if you're in the social space and even in the environmental space. I think like right now, COVID or not, the challenges are growing at a rate we've probably never seen, right? And I think only expedited by COVID, maybe on the financial end of social. So more homelessness, more poverty, more food insecurity. Like if you're into those issues, now you're gonna be like really pulled into it. And that should clarify exactly what you want to do and how you want to do it. So yes, on the no side, I'm with you in terms of personal finance and what your personal condition is. Like if you are indebted right now, you owe a lot of money on your house, you've got two kids, and your spouse is job insecure, or you're uncomfortable relying upon the spouse to provide healthcare, be the breadwinner, all that stuff, then you, obviously now is not the time to do it because financially, I think we'll talk about this in a future episode, like how do you fundraise? But I think funding and fundraising has become more difficult in this time, particularly for new entrants. So it's definitely something to consider. But right now, you're gonna be pulled into it, and you should be pulled into it at a higher rate now than you were 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, as an example, like it depends. Like we talk about mission-driven entrepreneurs and mission-driven, organizations. I started a not-for-profit, an unregistered not-for-profit over COVID in quarantine in Singapore called Nonprofit Insights, and it was to give free consulting to founders of nonprofits in predominantly Africa. And it's still going. I'm really happy with it. The goal was never to fundraise. The goal was never to scale it. But I started a mission-driven organization. And I'm really happy with it. Now it's the cost of a couple of Google ads and a web server and my time. Mission-driven organizations come in many different flavors. I mean, would you agree with that? Like,
Well, so yeah, actually, just using your example, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but I'm guessing that you wouldn't have created an agency supporting the exact same entrepreneurs where you physically had to be in Africa or relied upon you switching continents on a regular basis?
No, and neither would I start an agency that supports founders of nonprofits in Vietnam, where I was based, or Singapore, where I was based.
Right.
But maybe it might turn into that.
Right.
In 2-3 years.
Yeah. But
again,
you know, the fact that you wanted you specifically kind of wanted to help African entrepreneurs, you know, you did it in a way that was different, that actually was much more low cost.
Oh, no, no. Okay. I specifically did not want to support African entrepreneurs.
Any entrepreneur.
It's just where my ads perform the best. My $1 I invested a day in Google ads.
Okay.
Exponentially more out of like Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. And you know what? Amazing.
Right.
Because now I have a lot of experience. Yeah. I understand better the challenges that African nonprofit founders have. Mm-hmm. And I've made a difference. I've made a very small difference.
So when I think about that, I think actually this kind of proves that now is a good time to start an organization, but how you do it it's something you really need to think through, because on the one hand, like the way that I think about it is you had two options. One is to do what you did. And then the other one might have been something that you might have preferred, which is to set up an agency that helped the exact same entrepreneurs, but was more physically based. Like, you know, you would have flown somewhere, opened up an office. Well, you can't do that now. So you end up developing a new product that opens up a whole new market, that exposes you to a whole new, you know, kind of ecosystem that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So the constraint became the opportunity, and maybe leads to the future of something that was just unrecognizable.
It was a project. It's one of the many projects I've started over the past couple of months, year and a half.
Yeah.
But what about you? Like, when I think about Richard, I think you're a scale guy. There's a lot of intentionality in what you do. Me, I find to be a lot less intentional. I think intention is like, I'll get to intention later. I'll just keep on like just throwing stuff on the wall and seeing if it sticks. But you, like, how would you approach?
Well,
you know, would you approach starting, and how would you approach something now?
So if I were gainfully employed, and I was already I had enough security, I wasn't worried about the family, and I was going to make a jump.
Sure.
You know, my standard pattern is to open an office, hire a team, load a website, sell. Now, I can see where what you did is something that I've already been thinking about for other things now that we're in the middle of this, which is, don't go so heavy, don't require so many assets, don't require such a big team. Like, look for ways that you can achieve a mission with the same intention, the same delivery of impact, but through different mediums that have less friction, that cost less, that require less time. Like, you know, you're looking for that nice little kind of that perfect model, which you'll never hit, but you're going to chip away at it. And I think that's where I would start is like, I actually want to find different ways of achieving the same goal. In the past, it's always about me building teams that then do that and that scale. But now I'm looking at, what's a product that I can sell online? What's a podcast that I can start with a buddy? Like, you know, what are the concentric rings of impact that can come out of that are vastly different than the very physical things that I one maintain and hope to still grow, but just in different ways?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that there are, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned like local is subjective, because like local to me is like neighboring countries.
And then overseas, like, a long
local
time.
Local to like, say, my mother is right down, is like downtown Phoenix, where she does a lot of voluntary work.
Right.
And so it is really different. I think that's really interesting.
So actually, you mentioned volunteering, and I will say I've received a lot of, I mean, emails and messages and whatever from people who are, you know, everything from graduating college to, you know, mid-career shift. And one of the things I tell them as a stepping stone is volunteer with another organization that is on the same mission as you, maybe different tools, maybe different platform, maybe different approach, whatever. Work with them, see if you can actually help them achieve a different level of scale so that you can learn, you can practice, you can identify, and you can kind of hone what your product will be before you take the full step yourself.
Yeah. And I think it's really important because you might find that like the dysfunction of a nonprofit is just like not what you want to be a part of, because there is a certain level of dysfunction in all nonprofits, or even in the best of them. In like your Save the Children's and your like your CARES and plans and all that. I mean, there is like a level of just chaos within them that.
Yeah. But if you're an entrepreneur, profit or non, who's interested in say the healthcare space, the more time you spend in a hospital helping patients get through that system, you're going to work out how to help them better. No matter what the organization structure is going to be, you're going to realize like, wow, the administration's messed up here, the insurance is messed up here, the quality of product or the cost. Like you're going to start to see, and then you're going to figure out who all the players are, the government, nonprofit, like. And then you can actually say, like, this is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You know, and I think that, you know, getting back to like starting during COVID, starting during COVID, it's a decision you got to make. Yeah. But what I also wanted to do with starting, like reflecting on this organization that I started, this non-organization, social enterprise, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. That was important to me.
Yeah.
So I had only hired full-time staff. Mm-hmm. That's all I had ever done. So I wanted to hire like contract employees. So I hired my first person online on Upwork.com for 1 hour a day. Mm. And she was from the Philippines. I'd never met her. We did video conferences. She answered emails. She did scheduling.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience. And I still have her. Now she's on 4 hours a day. Mm. But I grew from that. I learned from that. And I can bring that into the organization that I do full time. But I can also, you know, grow that. I don't know. As an individual, I think,
sure.
You know, the founder is important, I find, in that sense.
Oh, I mean, the founder is critical. Thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm curious, like, what challenges do you think are unique to this time then? Like, we'd start this at 5 years ago, we'd start it now. Okay, great. Are there some unique challenges that you think are brought about that an aspiring entrepreneur might want to consider differently than how they started 18 months ago?
I honestly think it, if you're starting today and you want to quit your job, I'd quit my job and start a nonprofit or a social enterprise or whatever. I think it really comes down to your emergency fund.
Yeah.
Are you, do you have enough money in your emergency fund to last 3, 6, 12 months?
Yeah.
Does your team, meaning your personal infrastructure, your wife, your husband, your partner, whatever, is that person on board? Mm. Not like okay with it, but on board. If not, do not start an organization in the best of times.
But are those challenges really unique to this time? Like, what are some challenges?
I think that the amount of emergency fund you need is unique to this time. Mm. Okay. I would not start it with 6 months in the bank.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't. I would start with a minimum of 12.
Yeah.
But then again, it depends on what your funding looks like. If you're
right.
If your best friend is well healed and he wants to like fund your organization for the first year. Yeah. Great. Quit your job. Go for it.
Right. Right.
No, I mean, I quit my job with the library project with 10 grand in the bank.
Yeah.
10 grand in the organization's bank account and probably 1 grand in my personal bank account. I wasn't, but I had a backpack, no girlfriend. I had no dependents. Let's do it. So,
I mean,
what about you? Like, what do you think is unique to this time?
Well, I think access to funding and selling your idea would be more challenging now, because you would have to develop relationships over Zoom, right? And a lot of the work that you might get, or a lot of the ideas you might pitch, a lot of people you might be pitching to might not be comfortable with you making personal visits. So the second thing would be, I think, getting in depth into what is the actual problem? What is the pain point that you want to solve? And then, I mean, I guess from there, like, how do you deliver your programs? I mean, if you're doing a digital program, okay, now is a great time because actually everyone's got Zoom and everyone's got cameras and everyone's got nice little microphone. Like, everyone's up on the digital programs now. So fine. Sure. But if you are delivering libraries for the first time, or you are organizing volunteer events for the first time, or you are feeding the children for the first time, I would think that there'd be a lot more logistics and risk adjusted challenges, because your counterparties would be like, oh, you know, we have this new policy, like, you know, loads of new insurance that you got to pay for, or paperwork you got to sign, like liability you got to take on. I think, and I'm not saying like it's a reason not to do it, but, you know, those things are meaningful, but also, you know, unique to the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really depends on the mission and the vision and the program and the product and the service, whatever you're trying to implement. I think that really depends.
Yeah.
But
I don't think the mission should change, right? Like, you should be passionate to execute on something. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, like, as an example, like the library project, we donate libraries, right? Mm. We donate libraries in China.
Yeah.
Kind of like a lightning rod for COVID. Whenever there's COVID comes up, they close everything down.
Right.
Great. And I love the policy because it keeps everyone safe.
Right.
And they nip it in the bud and they open back up and you're good for a couple months.
Right.
But 2 weeks ago, a month ago, we couldn't do anything in the country.
Yeah.
Our programs ground to a halt, except our online programs. Now, yesterday I got a message from our assessment specialist that said, hey, our first school just opened up. We can donate a library to this school in September. Yeah. We didn't think we were going to do any programs in September, our busiest month of the year, historically. You just got to be okay with that.
Yeah. So
the uncertainty, there's just more uncertainty today.
That's out of your control. And I feel like it's just,
and
it feels a little bit more uncontrollable. So I don't know if that's a challenge or that's just what it is, but the open, the closing, the open, like, you just get, I would argue that if you can open now and make it 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, you will probably be a better entrepreneur for having started right now.
Eventually, and maybe you will agree with me on this, but you will experience COVID level challenges repeatedly as your adventure journey as an entrepreneur.
Mm. Not all at once.
Not all at once. And it might not last a year and a half, but you will run into cash flow issues, HR, government, compliance, whatever.
Yeah. So actually, HR is one that I think would be really interesting right now. And I think we'll talk about this in the future, but I think if you treat your people really well, they're going to be much more driven as well. Now is a really difficult time, I think, for old organizations to transition into the new management structures. But if you're a new individual who's building a movement of people online, you may actually leapfrog some of the organizational behavioral challenges that the larger organizations or even our organizations of 10 people are facing when we send our people home and we try to manage them, right? I mean, it's a very different thing. And you might actually find that you attract people much easier right now because you can be the new thing. You can be the energy. You can occupy a lot of oxygen. And that might actually make your HR really interesting. You might as well find there's a lot of people who are looking for extra stuff to do instead of, you know, Netflix all the time. Like, okay, I'm going to take some time off and I'm going to volunteer to an organization. Great. I need a web designer. I need an accountant. I need a project director. I need a copy. Like, you might be able to find that you can get access to this stuff because no one's at the office anymore, right? They can do an hour extra a day for something that they're passionate about. And I would argue a lot of people, I think, are looking to give back to, you know, something with meaning at this time because they've seen the impact that everyone's facing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just talking about one negative, I would say, like, I'm trying to be positive, as positive as possible on this. But one negative that I can think of is the personal and how it is exhausting. This is an exhausting time to start an organization and to maintain an organization and to be an entrepreneur because the challenge is not ending. It's not going away.
Right.
Every day there's another thing. There's Delta, there's Epsilon. I have to fucking learn Greek to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like why do I need to learn Greek?
Okay. So
like, and it just never ends. And I have this feeling it's not going to end.
So speaking of it never ending and learning Greek, separate from the financial conditions that you have, if you're homeschooling two kids right now, don't take this on. Don't take this on because you're really good. Like if you've got a cushy job that's already worked from home and they set up your ergonomic chair and it helped. Yeah. You still got to manage the two spawn as they go through school. But when you move into entrepreneur land, profit, nonprofit, fundraising, building product, figuring out how you one of them is going to fall off in a dramatic fashion. And it's most likely going to be the organization that you're not paying yourself for. And you're going to get, it's going to be mentally much more difficult, assuming you're someone who's working from home and the kids are at home as well, which I think more school districts are going towards, sadly. And I think that was the only like financial, but the other conditions that we haven't really even talked about is the fact that people are at home as a constraint, right? So the access to resources and pools of people and coffees and the networking events, that's not there anymore. So you're going to do a lot more work on your own, which for many people might be much more productive because you're not spinning your gears, you know, like wasting time meeting a bunch of people that aren't going to help you. You might just be totally focused, but I mean, it's one of those things that's, you're going to have to do work somewhere else on LinkedIn or whatever to meet more people.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and I think you bring up a really good point. Like, you know, if you are homeschooling two kids at home, now might not be the best time.
Right.
Okay. But also, you know, I've been reflecting on like, there's your plan. And then there's, you know, reality, you know, and plan and reality, you know, it's good to plan, but there's also reality. It's like your plan is going to change and you have to allow it constantly to change.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so like with my little organization that I started, I put it on hold a month ago and that's okay.
It's okay.
I just took the Google ads off.
Yeah.
And I've gotten one email over the past couple of like 30 days.
Yeah.
Because why? Because I'm with my family. I'm spending time with them. And then when I board that airplane on the 17th of September, I turn the organization back on. So I do think that there are different ways of being a social entrepreneur that aren't like, you're not jumping in to the deep end. Yeah. You're kind of wading in, and it might be the right time to wade in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's a really good point. Like, I think that the amount of burnt out startup entrepreneurs will probably be on the decline compared to 5 years ago. For exactly kind of what you mentioned directly, it's like you're wading in. You've already, after 18 months of this, kind of, you're working out a balance, I think, that works for you better. And you're more likely to apply that to the organization or the mission that you want to drive through. The other way I would look at that, the cost of failure is going to be less now. Not the financial side. Like, you might totally blow up. The mental part. Leading into burnout. Like, when you and I were struggling, failing, not happy with where the organization, where we, our programs, our impact, whatever we're at, we internalized that. We thought that we were separate from everybody else on Facebook who is receiving awards. Now, everyone is struggling, trying to find the path, failing. And if you fail, you turn it off, whatever. There's a lot less stress, I think, involved with that right now. And I think that is, it's something that a lot of, if you've never failed before, it's still going to be uncomfortable, but it's actually a really good time. And it should be a great kind of position to just realize that you can try anything now. You can pivot, you can adjust, just keep your costs down, keep your energy high, put things on pause. Don't worry about it. Throw on the accelerator. Don't worry. Like, don't get so emotionally wrapped up in the outcomes right now.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if there's ever a time to start an organization, like, now is arguably one of the best times in human history. If I look at the macro lens on everything, you can get, I mean, there's hosting deals out there for a website that you can get your first year basically for free.
Right.
You can get it for like, what, $1 a month? It's 12 bucks. Very cheap. You can go buy a domain name for your first year for like half price.
Yeah.
What's that? $6?
$6.
All right. Well, like, what is that? It's under 20 bucks.
Yeah.
You've got a website. All right. You could use it. You could use, you know, WordPress. You can figure out your mission,
whatever,
as you're kind of like writing your website out.
Yeah.
You know, computers are packed with free programs that previously you had to pay for. I mean, if you run a Mac, I mean, you've got word processor, you've got spreadsheets, give it all that for free on your computer already. Yeah. And Windows, I'm sure, has the same deal.
Well,
and you have all the online stuff that you can use. Like, it is a fantastic time to start basically anything, to start it. Now, it may not be like implementing, but start it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
what do you think?
I was going to say, the other way I look at packed with programs would be that right now, governments around the world are trying to figure out how to fix the economic, social, community, environmental problems at a level they never have. And there's a lot of, not just money out there for that, but there's opportunities for collaboration. There's RFPs everywhere. If you look at the UN website right now, like, there are a lot of people looking for organizations and individuals to help them achieve their own goals. And that, I think, is, it's different than it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. It was a much more closed ecosystem. But as everything has evolved, and as the challenges have grown, the openness, the ability to collaborate and partner, this is all growing right now. So, great time to be, if you want to work with others on the same mission, you want to feed off of others in the same mission and use their budgets, I think it's a great time for that as well.
I agree. I mean, I really do. I think that there's, you know, it's a great time. It just is. Yeah. Is it easy? No. Will it get easier? Maybe. But you should always have your ducks in a row.
Yeah. Like, don't take up too much risk, obviously, but.
Yeah. But then again, when I was starting, I didn't have my ducks in a row. I kind of jumped in and it worked out through a lot of pain. Looking back, I wish I had my ducks in a row a little bit more. I can easily say that. Yeah. But you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Sure.
And this is what this is all about. It's all about hindsight.
It's about hindsight to help those who are trying to learn from the lessons of others. So look, yes. I think that's a great, I mean, because I think one reason why we've got smiles on our faces, we learned all of our own lessons the hard way over 15 years.
Well, like, and we're still breathing.
We're still breathing. We made it, right? Like, okay, it was different. We thought we'd be bigger, bolder, whatever. Like, the plans changed. And the only thing I think that's kind of unique to COVID is just the fact that you've got cash flow, HR, programming, all the challenges that you would normally face over a couple cycles of your business, your organization. You're just facing them all at once. And you're trying to make the decision, is now the time to jump into the choppy water? I think both of us would agree. Yeah. Give it a shot. Go for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Do it. Yeah. Maybe just like wade in.
Wade in.
Or not. Or go for it.
Jump in from the 10 meter platform. That's the way I would go at it. So look, I think we wrap it there. We had a good
conversation. Yeah, let's do it.
But for those of you that are still with us and are willing to jump off the 10 meter board, we have a series of conversations following this, basically on how to manage funding, team, your mindset through this time of COVID. I think there's some unique aspects. It's a unique time. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try it, but it means you should be a little bit more mindful. And I think we're just going to impart a few, you know, provide a little bit of context of, you know, what we think the basics are, but in this time. And hopefully that'll put you a little bit further. So with that, thank you very much. Have a great week, Tom.
Yeah, you too. Be well.
See you next round.